Are you seeking thrilling tales of adventure and superheroics? Do you crave the weekly drama of teenage hijinks and high school angst? Then don't miss the next issue of These Protean City Comics. This issue featuring...
It's Puck, the Doom Trickster. You're not going to remember me.
Frequency, bringing the megahertz.
I'm Penance, and sometimes I can be a real witch.
I'm Sokotoa, master of gadgetry and geometry.
I'm Alina. The rest is need to know.
Windshear, full of hot air and out of time.
Now with our heroes assembled, let's turn the page on this issue of Protean City Comics.
This is Volume 20, Falcon Down. Issue 5, Second Chances. On the cover, Sage, Puck, and Frequency stare in horror at the figure with the face of the lunar lens. Her eyes are glowing an angry red, and lines of nanobots surge through her bulging muscles. A spiky word bubble warns, "Get ready for some explosive action!" What was once simply a glossy sticker now replaces the main header, the Protean City logo wreathed in flames. This is the conclusion of the Falcon Down event.
The first page of the comic shows the mountains north of Protean City. There's a bird just kind of like hanging out there, pecking at some stuff, because classically, anytime you show something that's about to explode in some big way, you show a bird pecking away at something. And we live in our tropes. Those are important. Over this panel and some of the following ones, we're going to have some like thought bubbles coming up. Not like big cartoon thought bubbles, like, you know, the editor note style thought bubbles. But the mountain is shown and a straight line fissure appears in along one of its ridges and just kind of like, we've got some good onomatopoeia going on. The thought panels say, "I didn't think that things were going to get this complicated. I didn't think we'd be having to deal with things like this. I knew we'd be saving people. I knew we'd be helping people. But I didn't expect to see someone exploding in front of me. And I didn't expect to see one of my new friends watching it. And I still don't expect to." The next panel shows Kid Windshear, and he's standing in front of the car with Alina, and in front of him is just this huge field of Striped Eagle armors. And they're all like up in the air, and their hands are lit up to use their blasts. And we see Kalino being dragged away by two of them. And like, so they're hurling through the air, the three of them. And the Striped Eagle with her fully painted one, like, you know, Holly, the primary Striped Eagle, is lying on the ground, and we can see that her chest armor is glowing bright, bright red. It's about to explode. And now I'm going to go ahead and make a roll as Windshear in order to go forward, because Windshear takes four big steps forward and then hurls himself through the air after Kalino to try to save him.
Go ahead and roll to defend, Brandon.
Thank you very much, Elsmith. I have a 5 plus 2. So that does bring me to a 7. So when you defend someone from an immediate threat, roll plus savior. On a hit, you keep them safe and choose 1. On a 7 to 9, you expose yourself to danger or escalate the situation. I'm going to clear a condition for my option. And with the 7 to 9, I'm going to escalate the situation. So Windshear like hurls himself forward after the two Striped Eagles and just grabs on to, I think he grabs onto Kalino's shoulders and like for a moment is just being dragged along by them, kind of like on top of Kalino. And then he's just like putting both of his elbows into the Striped Eagles' faces and just like pushing off to drag him and Kalino to the ground. Gets an arm around Kalino's shoulder and goes like, "Go, get her."
As you hurl through the air towards Striped Eagle holding Sokotoa, in this moment, the press have gotten wind of this royal battle happening.
Great.
At the Falcon base, and they have decided to descend upon the situation and start documenting, because the people need to know what these so-called heroes are doing, taking up arms against this government facility. They started snapping pictures of of Windshear seemingly attacking Sokotoa and Striped Eagle. And the heading will read, Hero Windshear, former Hero Windshear, attacking heroes Striped Eagle and new hero Sokotoa. What is this? Windshear has now been spotted and documented publicly attacking
and also
known heroes.
And also as a child.
Yes.
And actually, whether it was documented or not, I think that still is publicly battling another hero.
100%.
Like, because he's not battling Sokotoa in the D&E costume, but he is battling Striped Eagle that is regarded as... So I'm going to cross that out and become, you know, closer to becoming a horrible person. Kalino.
Yes.
For a moment, you're being pulled back through the air at, like, rapid speed. And then suddenly you're essentially tackled by Windshear. The two of us roll on the ground for a minute. And he just pushes you forward and says, go, save her. What do you do?
So it's, you see a panel of him, like, getting to his feet. He's trying to run before he's actually up. You can see him, like, almost like a football player, like, using their hands to just get up. He's like, nice. It's like a total mess. And he just starts sprinting towards Striped Eagle.
Okay.
While he's running, he's throwing the orbs filled with water, whatever he can do to cool it down before he gets there.
Okay. We get a panel that shows the two Striped Eagles that were pulling Kalino just, like, coming down on Windshear. And, like, he's holding his own better than you probably could because he's got some powers.
Yeah.
But, like, that's not a great situation. But, like, you know, right now you're handling this other thing. We see... Why don't you go ahead and roll to unleash your powers?
So I got a 10. Minus 1 is 9. Minus 2 for... Hopeless. I got a 7.
Okay, so would you like to mark a condition, or should I tell you how it's unstable or temporary?
I will mark a condition.
Okay.
I have 2 left. I'm going to mark guilty.
You throw the... I don't know if this is going to be enough to completely shut off the problem. This is like slowing the problem.
Yeah, I'm looking to buy some time.
Okay, yeah. But we get the orbs hitting and like spraying water, and there's just hisses of steam coming up, like just like clouds of steam. This chest plate is really hot. And so you may have actually even already prevented her. I think you already have prevented her from being like horribly burned during this experience, even if she steps away from it. And so I think the last panel we get there is Kalino like rushing up and sliding down to be next to Striped Eagle. Mm. And the next panel we get shows Puck being hurled through a wall. Oh, no. By Lunar Lens. Lunar Lens is now standing there facing Alina, Ben, and Sage, and her arms, her neck, her face just has like lit up veins where the nanobots are working through her. And we can see like all of her muscles are just like tightened, and she's in like this rage mode. And we see Puck just like crash through that wall.
All right, so light as a feather, stiff as a board. I'm going to lift the Lunar Lens with my telekinesis.
Go ahead and roll to unleash your powers.
That's an 8.
All right. So you can mark a condition or I'll tell you how it's unstable or temporary.
Tell me how it's unstable or temporary, Brandon.
Yeah, this feels like heavy. Like she's fighting against you. Mm-hmm. And you've got telekinetic powers. We've seen you do some pretty big telekinetic things. Mm-hmm. But like this, she's going to eventually get out of this. You can't hold her up there forever.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
We can't wait for the cavalry to arrive. Things are going to be progressing quickly. And she's like, her arms are like windmilling, and you can see that her hands have formed into these like rictus claws. Like she is in just an animalistic mode now as these nanobots have activated. Her eyes glowing. What color eyes does Lunar Lens have?
Purple.
Purple.
They're like lavender.
Okay. Yeah. So the red comes through, like the red of the nanobots comes through really nicely through the lavender.
Lens. Holy shit. Lens. Oh God. Wait, they're robots. Ben, robots.
Sage, I don't know what's happening. I'm freaking out.
Ben, there are robots in her fucking head. What do you even do if you can't get robots?
I don't know.
Okay, go ahead and roll to provoke.
Plus 1, minus 2, so that's a 7.
Okay. So you can offer a team if he does it, or he'll have to mark a condition if he doesn't.
I think mark a condition if he doesn't
Okay.
Do it. Yeah.
Yeah. You're putting the pressure on.
Yeah. I'm panicked.
You're not asking
I'm
nicely.
Freaked out. He is my only hope in this situation. He's the only way I know that this could possibly be okay.
Sounds good.
Okay.
What do you do?
I'm just going to try getting them to stop.
Okay.
Just, I'm not trying to get them to do it. Just stop, freeze, pause, halt.
Okay. Don't so do I'd just like to pause the nanobots.
Yep.
So when you attempt to turn off nanobots in someone's brain or free someone from the swarm protocol, roll plus superior.
So I rolled an 8 on the dice, plus 3 is 11.
Very nice.
Brother, my brother.
So I'm going to read the whole move just so we know it for the future.
Yes.
On a hit, you shut things down for now. On a 7-9, choose. They take the shock safely or the nanobots will need to be vocally reset. So on a 10 plus, you get both of those things.
Whoop.
The nanobots are down for now. They can be activated again using a command phrase and they will take the shock safely.
Okay.
So that's a good thing to roll that 10 plus.
So what happens to Lunar Lens now that her nanobots all turned off?
So we get a panel that shows you like using your technology and we see how much of a strain it is, right? Because this is a lot of technology. It's all of these little tiny individual robots that work like in a network together, but you're able to eventually like backdoor through one from one to the other, and there's like a like basically like a line, oh, maybe the lines of red of the nanobots, like one after the other, like tsk, 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 and change to like a more frequency color. What's frequency color? Is that blue?
Okay. Yeah.
So yeah, so like the lines.
Electric blue.
Nice. The lines change from like that bright red to the electric blue of frequency as they kind of like hiss up her veins. And she stops for a moment and her eyes blink a couple of times and they still have the red behind it. And then she blinks again and they're blue. And she blinks again and they're back to their normal purple color. And she breathes out this like deep sigh and sort of like stumbles back into the chair and is looking at you with just a baffled look on her face.
Holy shit, Ben, you did it. Lens, can you hear me? Are you there? Do you know where you are?
I want to go back in the tank.
Oh God.
Hey, answer me this. Look at me.
And she's looking at you like really intently.
Who am I?
And she kind of blinks a couple of times and shakes her head. And she says, you're not me. You're not the other me. You're not the doctor. You're not the director. I don't have you. If you put me in the tank, maybe I'll find you.
Sage is going to like just back away from Lens and hit the back corner and sort of fall like down and just like she's having a mini panic attack in the corner.
Okay.
I think at this point, John climbs through the hole in the wall and comes back over because he was like kind of on the other side listening to this.
He's got like some wall dust on his face.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's just going to turn to Ben and be like, I think that you're right. I think that they were cloning Lunar Lens. And I don't think that those were missing memories. I think that this is the clone. This is the one that doesn't have all the memories. They've still got her somewhere.
Sage is crying in a corner.
Oh Lord.
Where can she be though?
Wasn't
here
in the cells.
Guys, I have an idea where the tank might be.
What do you know?
It's one of, I'm going to guess, the numerous secret Falcon bases. It's up in the woods, or it's on a mountaintop. It's subterranean, completely off-grid.
The next panel shows subterranean, completely off-grid Falcon base. And we see just this enormous metal shape. Like, we can't exactly make out what it is. It's definitely, it's someone in some kind of a vehicle, right? And it's got like big sharp angles and everything. And we see a scientist who looks very small next to it, who's in a lab coat. And she looks up and says, "Are you very certain that you're going to go in and handle this yourself? We have more troops. We can deploy. This seems dangerous, sir. This seems dangerous." And the voice comes down from the robot, and it's slightly like muffled and distorted, but recognizable.
No.
"I'll handle this myself." And there's just like a burst of flame at the bottom of the panel, and the scientist has to like pull back and like put a hand over her face to block the smoke and the dust from coming up. And we see our first image of Condor, the enormous suit that has been put together by the director. It's similar in a lot of ways to the Striped Eagle armor, but it's bigger for one thing. Like, think like Hulkbuster kind of size, and it's all these sharp angles, and like it is demonstrably Falcon. There's no like America thing going on with it. It's like big Falcon logos on the arms, and like just like sharp blades, and it shoots this like dark black smoke and fire as it goes, instead of having like the nice repulsor systems. But we see it just like thundering into the air, moving down towards Protean City. And we come back to our crew.
Alina, how do we get there?
Well, I guess she counts. I guess I have enough seatbelts.
We're going to take the car?
Yes.
Because I blew up my motorcycle. What do we do with this one? I don't feel comfortable letting her know what we're doing. She seems really connected, but I don't want to just leave her. Can you knock her out? And she looks at Ben like, can you make the nanobots knock her out?
I don't know if I can. I know it's not Lens, but
just punch her.
I was hoping someone else would.
Yeah,
I don't want to do it, but somebody should.
I'll do it.
Okay. You knock her out?
Yeah.
She's knocked out.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so John is going to walk over to her and kind of like look her in the eyes and see that she's kind of not got that nanobot madness anymore. And he's going to kind of like hold his hands together like he's like got something hidden inside them and open his hands and like a couple fairies are going to pop out. And they are going to like kind of almost like Cinderella style. These fairies are grabbing onto like bits of her clothes and like parts of her hand. And they're going to lead her away. And John is going to like grab one and whisper to it and instruct it to lead her to the lighthouse where she'll be safe.
Great. Yeah. So we get like a couple of panels that show Lunar Lens sort of like hesitant for a moment, but then they start to pull a little further and she's like, okay. Yeah. And is just kind of brought along.
And they'll be firm if they need to be.
Yeah.
There's enough of them that they could probably almost carry her.
She's at this point with the nanobots turned off and with her having very few memories and everything like that, really willing to go along. And so our panel shows, maybe it shows Lunar Lens like leaving through a back door and like being brought along by the fairies who are like, you know, checking ahead and everything like that. And then we get the next panel that shows Kalino kneeling next to Striped Eagle.
So
what do you do?
Kalino has taken apart one of Newton's first. That's the one with the goo inside.
Okay.
And he's taken two of them apart and he's placing each one underneath like each shoulder.
Okay.
So it's half. He's gluing them to her shoulders and like her legs.
Okay.
He's taking four other orbs and placing them underneath. He's going to try to wheel. He knows he can't lift her. So he's going to try to wheel her over towards the fountain. And then when he gets there, he'll figure out how to lift her and get her in the water.
Precious math baby.
I love this precious math baby. Okay. Go ahead and roll to unleash your powers.
That is a zero.
Okay. So we get a panel that shows Sokotoa just like getting the orbs under her and starting to push, and it's working. he's pushing her along, but she's heavy. We get like just this strain on his face, and Isaac is helping and trying to like, he's grabbed onto one of her boots with his teeth and is like scurrying backwards. And but the beeping from the suit is just getting faster and faster. And we get a robotic voice that says, "Explosion imminent. Clear the area." And Isaac runs and charges towards you, like trying to just like grab onto your pant leg, trying to grab onto your suit and pull you away from Striped Eagle, who is about to explode.
How far am I from the fountain?
You're still probably another 20 feet. It's too far for you to push her. We get a couple, we get shots of the rest of the team. We have Windshear like being like just slammed by like five different Striped Eagles, and like he keeps on like getting a fist up and swinging it, but then he gets kicked in the face, and we get the team like running to the top of the steps and looking out over the center.
Can you redirect any of the water from the fountain to her?
How am I going to get, I'd have to get in front of her towards the fountain, jerry-rig something. If I don't have enough time to push her there, I don't think I'd have enough time to do that.
It's too late. It's too late to stop the explosion. I'm asking how you get away from the explosion, if you do.
Would Kalino, I know that it's too late for the explosion. Would Kalino know? Because 20 feet, that's, if he has any speed at all, it's only going to be a couple of seconds.
In terms of how long you can push her there, like how long it'll take to push her there, you've been pushing her a little bit, and so, like, you know how slow it's going. You know, like, you won't get there in a couple of seconds. It's like, it is you pushing all of your effort into it to move her, like, a foot at a time.
I'm going to stop pushing her. I'm not going to run. I'm going to take, two or three of my Newtons first and throw them at my feet to build up, like, a barrier.
Okay.
It's like that goo, so like it'll explode, but that'll take the brunt of the force. And
yeah.
Then the second the explosion's over, I can again try to start helping or see what I can do afterwards.
Okay. Go ahead and roll to take a powerful blow.
Okay.
Plus conditions marked.
15.
Woof.
Whoa.
Okay, so on a 10 plus, you must remove yourself from the situation, flee, pass out, etc. You lose control of yourself or your powers in a terrible way. Or two options from the 7 to 9 list?
I'll lose control of my powers in a terrible way.
So we get a panel that shows the faces of the four heroes standing up on top of the steps of the building, looking out and seeing Kalino like standing up quickly, throwing down his orbs, and just an explosion in front of him. The substance from the orb just ignites, and there's this shower of green flame that hurls into the air. It knocks aside Striped Eagles. They're being like flung to the ground, crashing hard. The news crew starts screaming and trying to run. Some of the flame from the ooze lands on the news van and explodes. There's just explosions and green fire. The square is ignited in green flame. What do you do?
Can we see him now?
Yes, you can see him.
We saw him get exploded.
He was hurled backwards. He was hurled like 30 feet. It hurts like crazy. A lot of your costume is shredded. You've got some burns. This sucks. This hurts
legitimate.
A lot. Yeah.
I'm just going to run towards him. I can't do anything.
I think I just scream Kalino and just run towards it.
Yeah.
All right. I try to cushion his landing.
Okay, so we get a panel that shows Arcana like putting a hand forward and Kalino like stopping just before he hits the ground and then resting down softer.
Is he visibly burned? Like, is he breathing? I would like to assess his health. Also, where's Isaac? I'm like really concerned about the little...
I'm guessing if he was holding on to me and I got flown back 30 feet, he probably did not hold on to the costume and was thrown back farther. He's going to be somewhere behind me.
There's silence and like a little bit of onomatopoeia for like...
He's built for stuff like this, and, though, so he's probably scared, but fine.
Yeah, and then like a very brightly colored tink, 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 just getting smaller, and we kind of see him like in the background, like curled up and like starting to uncurl, and then there's like a little moment of dizziness, and he curls right back up. He's not getting out for a second.
Okay. Yeah, I want to assess his health.
He's conscious.
He's conscious.
He's conscious. He's breathing.
Is he burned?
He's burned.
Okay.
It's clear that like that hurt a lot. He was in the center of an explosion.
Okay.
And he is a boy, not some kind of super powered rock monster.
Yeah. I'm going to try to prop his head up and immediately start assessing his wounds, and I'm just going to like
comfort and support him.
I'm literally physically trying to fix the wounds. Like, that's the thing I know how to do. So that's the thing I'm going to start doing.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, Kalino, we're here. We're here and you're safe. And we're going to get you out of here. And I'm just going to start like ripping shreds off my like cape thing and tying them around the really wounded areas and trying to like bandage him.
Okay.
I'm going to signal for Ramon to bring the car around.
Yeah, and Ramon's limping pretty bad. And like he's like trying to like disentangle himself from some striped eagles, and they keep on like grabbing onto him and like pulling him back in. But after a couple of panels of him like swinging awkwardly, he's limping to try to get to that car.
Is there anything of striped eagle left?
This is a comic book,
mm-hmm.
and so it's going to be somewhat unrealistic. There is a body.
Okay. John is going to go over.
They're not showing, like, this is a comic that is read by a lot of young people, mm-hmm. and so there isn't, like, horrific gore or anything like that, but Striped Eagle, as soon as you're over near her, you mm-hmm. can see that it is too late.
Are there any other Striped Eagles still up and about?
There was like the explosion really rocked them. Like it hurled a lot of heat mm-hmm. out, and a lot of them were blasted back. They're taking a minute to right themselves.
Okay. Is there one that's close to me?
Yeah, there can be one close to you.
I want to go over to them.
Okay.
And punch them.
Okay.
And knock them out.
You do so.
And drag them back to the one that exploded.
Okay.
And then I want to see if there are any memories. This is a dead person.
Okay.
But I want to see if I can still like get at any of the memories. Like, I don't know if that's possible. I don't know if John thinks that's possible, but he's going to try.
I don't know if that's possible either. Why don't you go ahead and unleash your powers?
Okay. Eight.
Eight. Okay. So you can mark a condition, or I'll tell you how it's unstable or temporary.
I can't mark a condition, so it's got to be unsafe, unstable, or temporary.
Okay. You get into her head, and you have, at first, like, the big room mm-hmm. where you have all of the memories, all of the screens, and you're, like, starting to flip through, but then a crack appears in the top of the black ceiling, and you see, like, light streaming in through the crack, and the TVs start just like, or the screens rather, mm-hmm. start just like blowing out sparks and starting to fall down. You can access memories. You can pull out some memories if you would like.
Mm-hmm.
You have limited time, so you're not going to be able to take a lot of it. If you're trying to like download stuff.
I want to try to put all the memories that I can get in this other Striped Eagle body.
Okay.
And just like, I want to just like take this other Striped Eagle clone.
Yeah.
Clean slate her, just remove all of her memories and pump as many of the other Striped Eagle's memories into her as possible.
Okay.
And I understand that it's going to be rough and it's not going to be whole, but so, just nothing of this clone and everything from the one that we knew.
I'm going to give you a choice.
Okay.
You can either give me a subject of memories
mm-hmm.
that you grab everything from that subject, or you can stay in longer than you probably should and take a powerful blow in the process. And in that case, like, you would be overwriting memory into the already some memories version. These clones have seemed to have more in them than Lunar Lens did. Lunar Lens was not ready.
Yeah, I understand. I think he's going to stay in too long and just try to get as much as he can.
So we get a panel that shows Puck inside Striped Eagle's mind. And we have all of these screens running. And in the corner, there's a figure sitting down. And we see this like kind of like coming to light as the light is starting to fill this room. And we see that it's Holly. And she looks at you and she says, John? What are you doing?
You're not done yet.
The screens are falling all around you. They're cracking and splitting. But I don't understand. Is this the afterlife?
I don't think so. And he's kind of looks curiously around. And he's just going to say, that man, Lance, he diverted your life. He made you do things you shouldn't have done. He made you into a person you shouldn't have been. And you didn't make it out of that. But he made me another body for you. And if I can save you, then I will.
Roll to take a powerful blow. Plus conditions marked.
11.
Okay. So you can remove yourself from the situation, pass out, etc., lose control of yourself or your powers in a terrible way, or two options from the 7 to 9 list.
I think he's going to lose control of himself or his powers in a terrible way.
Okay. The roof is cracking, and we see the black pixels all around, like the black pixel tears all around Puck, and then the roof starts to knit itself closed for just a moment, just to hold it in place, and there's a slither of blackness that comes down, and it touches Puck.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks almost like a hook wrapped around his spine for a moment and just pulled back sharply. And the next panel shows Puck outside of Holly's mind, and he's hurled back through the air. Mark an entire doom sign.
Okay.
The panel shows Puck hurled back with just like the black mist coming off of him, and the striped eagle next to Holly, her back arches, and she just lets out a, and then there's just stillness. But we can see in the sky, there's that split that happened in the sky when you were connected with Jack Chance is there again. And it slithers open for a moment, and you feel the blackness in you. You feel that in you. And then you see the blackness for a moment spread around the clone that you've put the memories into. But she's coughing and gasping and pushing herself, trying to push herself back to her feet, but is like in quite a lot of shock. That was a big event. Kalino.
Yes.
Are you unconscious or are you awake?
He is awake because he did not choose to be. He did not choose to pass out.
Okay, because at some point I need to get this out. This is all my goddamn fucking fault.
I think we have a panel that shows like Sage on one side holding his hand and like an arm on a hand on his shoulder, and Ben on the other side doing the same.
But Kalino, I'm so sorry. This is my fault. This is all my fault. I called you. I asked you to come out. I got roped into this stupid mess. My fucking siblings made me go out and go to some underwater fucking... I don't know why the fuck I did any of this. This is my fault, and I'm so sorry. I don't know if there's anything I can do to ever make this right.
She's dead then?
I think so.
Kalino, I know that this is a terrible time, and I know you're processing, but we need to leave. We need to leave right now. This isn't a safe place to be. Can you get up? We're here to help you.
My phone is in my pocket. My dad thinks that he's picking me up back where the hands of fate were. Somebody needs to take me to the hospital. I'm not okay.
I have to go to Lens. I can't.
We get a panel that shows Ramon bringing the car around and like getting out of it quickly and just standing there with no idea what to do.
We're going to help him, Kalino, into the car.
Mm-hmm.
And I set the GPS on the car to the hospital. Just do what the lady tells you.
He looks confused for a moment, and then it says, like, go south on 3rd Street. Are you getting in the car with him, or it's just Ramon and Kalino going?
It's just Ramon and Kalino going.
I can't.
I don't know what I'm doing.
Ben, you can go with him. It's okay. We're gonna go get Lens, but you need to go with him now. Come meet us if everything clears up.
If you need anything,
I'll call. I will call.
I will get half this city to you.
I know.
In the sky above, like a rocket shooting off, you see flames in the distance. It's hurling down from the north, down from the mountains. Fire and smoke filling the night sky. And it blocks, the smoke just billowing out is blocking out the stars. And then little lights start to appear all around it. More eagles. And they're coming towards you.
You have to go. Get in the car.
Good luck.
You too.
Be safe.
And I'm going to hug him quick and slam the door, and we're going to move.
Okay. We get a panel that shows, like, Ramon is just, like, ghostly pale and, like, holding on to the wheel with, like, completely hardened knuckles, and Ben in the front seat with Isaac on his lap and Kalino spread out on the back seat.
There is not a single freaking red light on the entire way there.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect.
I'm making sure of that.
So the car drives away.
Okay.
Yeah, the car drives away.
All right, I'm going to need you to follow me. I'm going to need you to shut your mouths and do what I ask.
Why are you so hostile? We just saw a woman die.
Our team is in half because that asshole couldn't let it go. Okay?
He had feelings for her.
I don't care.
Clearly.
Jesus Christ, Sage, you can't just follow your heart wherever it leads you and expect us to pick up the pieces.
I'm sorry. I think you're being unduly harsh. I agree we need to move, and I'm fine following your instruction, but your attitude is harsh. He just lost somebody really important to him, and I think that matters. Whether she mattered to you or not, it mattered to him, and that's enough. What's your plan? I don't mind going, but just so you know.
If he doesn't have the tools to compartmentalize, then he never should have been out here with us to begin with.
Not everybody heroes in the same way.
As they are shuttling, like John, so John is away. Like he's standing, he's away from the rest of the group.
Yeah.
Because he was thrown by dark forces.
Yeah.
And as he stands up, he sees that Sokotoa is fine. He needs medical assistance, but he's getting in a car. He's putting these things together.
Mm-hmm.
He is going to go over and grab this striped eagle mm-hmm. That he just pumped a whole bunch of memories into.
Yeah.
And while she is still like kind of woozy and getting her footing again, he is going to pick her up and just throw her over his shoulder.
Okay.
And run.
Oh, okay.
And he's going to take her to the lighthouse.
Okay. So we get a panel that shows Sage and Alina just shouting in each other's faces. And Puck should have been nearby.
Yeah.
But then we see a panel of him with the striped eagle that he just pumped a whole life full of memories into.
And they can't know that he has done this.
Just hurled over his shoulder as he's running into the night. Girls, what do you do?
How do we get there?
I guess your birthday present is coming early.
I really hope it flies. I'll send you a card later.
The next panel, it's shows Sage and Alina in a parking garage. And it's a souped-up motorcycle with a sidecar.
Nice.
I was going to have a fleet of motorcycles.
Well, I just thought that this one was a little bit more practical for, you know, guests.
It's great, and thank God you bought it early. Let's go. So I'm going to get on that motorcycle, and I assume Alina's getting in the sidecar. And
no, I'm riding, bitch. We're just going to leave the sidecar.
That's fine. I don't mind. So we're just going to get on the motorcycle, and I'm going to be like, where am I going?
All right. Take the highway all the way up, and I'll let you know when you got to turn off.
Alina?
What, Sage?
You know we're going to the big bad now, right?
I've known all along.
I love you.
I know.
Protean City Comics is a production of the Stop, Hack, and Roll podcast network. It is produced and edited by James Malloy. This issue was emceed by Brandon Leon Gambetta, who can be found on Twitter at Dr. Captain Cobalt. Penance is played by Elsbeth Denman, who can be found on Twitter at The Cat on the Wall. Sokotoa is played by Mark Zurich, who can be found on Twitter at _Starkey_. Frequency is played by Rob Harvey, who can be found on Twitter at rharvey1211. Alina Mars is played by Jessica Benini, who can be found on Twitter at herlockholmes. Puck is played by me, James Malloy, and I can be found on Twitter at AndTheMeltdowns. The introduction was voiced by Peter DeGilio. All music was composed by Jim Malloy. Masks, A New Generation, is a game by Brendan Conway and published by Magpie Games. This podcast is created thanks to the financial support of backers at patreon.com/stophackandroll. Join us at our Discord at discord.stophackandroll.com or follow us on Twitter at Protean City. Subscribe to Protean City Comics on iTunes or wherever podcasts are found. Join us next Wednesday to find out what thrilling adventures lie ahead.
On a spooky cover, Dr. Puckenstein stands among decorative pumpkins high atop the lighthouse. The sewn-together body of the striped eagle lays on a slab before him. As she is struck by lightning and arches to life, he cackles, "She's alive!" Down in the corner is a spookified glossy sticker of a pumpkin logo wreathed in flames. Embossed letters proclaim, "This is a haunted Halloween alternate cover."